Take your Bible tonight and look to Psalm 84, if you would. Psalm 84. In a moment, we'll be looking together at verses 5 through 7, Psalm 84. Let me say it's an honor to be here tonight. Don't believe anything Greg Shipe says. I do not even recall that happening. That must have either been another trip or you dreamed it up. Do not recall that at all. Boy, I could tell you some stories about him. And there's a reason why we let him leave when he left fellowship. You thought it was because he was called here. It was because we were sending him out, and it wasn't commissioning. It was a little bit of a push. Sometimes you pat people on the back and push them out the door at the same time. And, no, I'm just kidding. You have a great pastor, and we're grateful. I'm grateful for his friendship. I think I stirred the pot a little bit this morning in the fact that I let everybody out 15 minutes early. I just want you to know my style of preaching is the style like a chicken laying an egg on the middle of a busy highway. You just lay it on the line and get out of the way, and that's what I do best. I've tried my hardest to make sure what I say is succinct and clear and to the point. So I may have you out early tonight. Don't hold that against me, please. And don't hold your pastor to that standard, because his normal three-hour sermons are really a blessing when he brings those to you. Nobody's even laughing at that. So you must have come back from that a little bit. It is an honor to be here, in all sincerity. I am Executive Vice President of Pensacola Christian College. PCC is a college that has annual average enrollment of roughly 4,500 every year, 61 programs of study. We are a Christian liberal arts college, meaning that we are fulfilling our mission, our purpose through education and evangelism, by reaching college-age people, college-age young people, preparing them to influence the world for Christ. We believe every single person has a calling on their life, and that calling is not just to ministry. We need God-called accountants and God-called attorneys. We need mechanical engineers. We need nurses. We need doctors. And there's a calling that God has on every person's life, and we're there to help partner with them to prepare for that. And so if you know of someone or you have a family member that's looking for college, PCC may be an option for you. We're not the only Christian college out there, and we know that. And we may not be the Christian college for every person, but we are the Christian college for the people whom God calls to PCC. We also have something we're starting. We'll be announcing it this summer, something we're calling Finish What You Started. And if there's someone who is within 30 credits of completing their bachelor's degree, or I believe 20 credits within completing an associate's degree, you can complete that degree through us online, and depending on what your various majors were, we'd have to coordinate all those things, but you would have a fully complete degree, a fully accredited degree as well, and it's all done online to be able to finish something that perhaps life got in the way, didn't allow you to finish in a very timely manner because of circumstance. We've set that up as a way to help. Fully online graduate school as well for those that are looking for an MBA, those in ministry looking for an MDiv or a DMin. Any of those things are available through PCC. Just go to pcci.edu and they'll have information for you there. I'll answer questions for you after we are finished. Psalm 84 is the journal of a traveler pursuing the opportunity to worship God in Jerusalem. You see, every Jewish male was required to go to the temple at least 3 times a year. So with great desire, they would move towards the holy city, crossing mountains and valleys to be able to honor the Lord with worship in that holy city. When you study the book of Psalms, you're going to find that some of the Psalms are divided up in stanzas. A psalm is really a song, and this particular psalm has 3 stanzas. Each of those stanzas are marked by a single word, the word blessed. It's found in verse 4, it's found in verse 5, and it's found in verse 12. The first stanza, verses 1 through 4, deals with the anticipation for the journey. When you look at Psalm 84, verse 1, he says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." Verse 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." So it's talking about the anticipation of the journey, anticipating making the move to go to Jerusalem to worship the tabernacle, the place where God is gathering. But then the last stanza is one single verse found in verse 12, marked by the word bless, where it says, "The O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." It's the joy of not anticipation, but the joy of arrival. After the conclusion of the journey, anticipating leaving, then making the journey, there is the actual arrival and there is the celebration, the benediction of sorts. Blessed is the man who trusts in thee. But the longest stanza in Psalm 84 is not about the anticipation or the arrival, but it's about the actual journey. That first stanza is about the joy that you would experience. And the last stanza is about the joy that you experience in the arrival. But there is oftentimes adversity, difficulty in the journey that God places us on. It's that hard part between anticipation and arrival. Tonight I want to look at this portion of Psalm 84, that second stanza, verses 5 through 7 of Psalm 84. The Word of God says in Psalm 84, verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rains also fill the pools. And they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Now notice this believer as he makes this journey. He has anticipated the journey, but now he finds himself in the adversity of the journey. And he says in verse number 7, everyone who does arrive there, they go, verse number 7, from strength to strength. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? From strength to strength. When you see that phrase, it means when they arrived to Zion, they didn't travel on the expressway. They didn't have a nonstop flight. They would go from strength to strength, meaning they would begin the journey with anticipation and energy. They would go as far as they could. They would travel as long as they could, but weariness would set in. And at some point, they had to stop. They had to rest. And once they recharged, once they refueled, they began the journey again. And once they would find themselves in a place of weariness, a place of being worn down, they would stop and they would rest and they would move from strength to strength. It's a beautiful picture of living the Christian life. The truth is, the Christian life is not lived all the time on the mountaintop. The Christian life is not always lived with times of overwhelming strength. There is times you are weary. Can I have a witness from God's people tonight? There's a time that sometimes you've just got to stop and you've got to rest so that you can move forward in the strength of the Lord. So regardless of wherever you are on the journey today, I want us to learn the importance of going from strength to strength, dealing with those obstacles, those problems, those troubles that sometimes tap our strength. So there are four principles that are found here in Psalm 84 so that teach us how to go from strength to strength. Here's the first principle. The pilgrimage principle. Remember that your troubles are temporary. Do you see it? Look again, if you would please, in verse number 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart is in thy ways of them. Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Now, when you see that little phrase, the valley of Baca, you're going to find as you study that the valley of Baca is nowhere ever located on any map or is ever found in any archaeological sites. The valley of Baca, quite honestly, was a nickname for another valley. The name Valley of Baca means the Valley of Tears. It was most likely the Valley of Rephaim. It was that valley that would be to the northeast of Jerusalem. And when the people would come down to Jerusalem, they would have to go through that valley filled with animals and pitfalls and vipers and all sorts of danger. The old rabbis used to say that there in that city, that the balsam trees, during certain seasons of the year, they would be so sorrowful for the journey or for the traveler that when their resin would begin to drop, it would form as if it were tears on the bark of that tree. Thus, they call it the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears. It was a place where hardship and suffering would occur. And the valley of suffering and adversity was a place that all travelers went through as they came to Jerusalem to worship. I'm not here to sugarcoat it tonight. I'm here to tell you the truth that sometimes in the Christian life, we have troubles. Don't believe what every preacher on the modern day evangelical Christian community teaches, that when you know Christ, there'll never be cancer, there'll never be family problems, there'll never be financial reversals. I'm here to tell you that you are a Christian, and as a Christian, it does not exempt you from trouble. The Bible says that the Lord reigns on the just and the unjust. That God allows those things to occur to all of us. But what we have is this. We have a different perspective. That we are pilgrims. And because we are pilgrims, our troubles are temporary. Do you see it? Look again at verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca. Did you notice it did not say, set up housekeeping in the valley of Baca. Does not remain in the valley of Baca. It says they are passing through. I like that word pass, particularly in the collegiate level. There's going to be a number of people. I was talking to one of our professors this past week who's a marketing professor. And he said, I have a test with seniors on the day before commencement, and they will be sweating whether or not they will actually pass that class so they can graduate the next day. But can you imagine the relief that they will have when they actually pass that class and they walk across the stage and they get their diploma, they receive their degree? Why? Because they passed. They have transitioned. They have moved from now being in the classroom, now moving towards their career. All of us at various times in life are in a passing transition. Did you know that 396 times in the Bible this phrase is used? And it came to pass. I like the old preacher who said, thank God it came to pass and it didn't come to stay. Can I have an amen? We are pilgrims that are just simply passing through. And the problems that we face and the troubles that we deal with are simply temporary, and we are transient. See, here's the key that we forget in living the Christian life. We are not vagabonds without a home. We're not a fugitive running away from home. We're not strangers away from home, but we are pilgrims who are heading home. We're just passing through. A number of years ago, my wife and I, in fact, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we passed through this way on our way up. We went to Vermont. It was for our 25th anniversary. And when we drove through Pennsylvania, we stopped on our way up, and then on our way back down, we stopped on the other side, and we're going to Lancaster to Sight and Sound Theater. And I'm one of these guys, I was joking this morning about your pastor maybe being a little tight financially. I am the worst. I like to go and find good deals on hotels. Does anybody else like to do that? I found a deal on a hotel that was a 5-star hotel for $25 a night. It was something I was proud of. I told my wife, I said, honey, when we get there, we can rest in the fact that we can do whatever we want because we've not invested a lot in this hotel. So we drive down towards Lancaster. I believe it's just north of Lancaster, and we see the hotel. It looks nice from the drive up and into the parking lot, go into the front lobby, and there in the front lobby, it's marble floors and beautiful flowers and a nice front desk. And they give us the key, and they say, you're going to be in room number whatever it may be. I think it was 453, and we went up to the fourth floor. And as we begin our journey through the corridors, this hotel is huge, I began to notice that the further we moved away from the elevators, the filthier the floor became, the rougher the area became. Our room was in the very back of that particular hotel. We later found out that they were in the process of remodeling, so that as that process was occurring, they were reducing their rates just to keep business coming through. So we went through all the corridors, darker, dirtier as we got there. We finally came to the room, and when I opened the door, I clicked on the light, and immediately two cockroaches scurried across the floor there. And I thought to myself, if my wife saw that, this is not going to be a good thing. Fortunately, she didn't. So we went in the room, and she begins looking around, and she starts taking a look in the bathroom, and she noticed that there's rust stains up on the wall of the bathroom shower, and there's calcium deposits on the faucets and on the shower head, rust stains in the toilet, and the mirror has a crack in it. This is a hotel that is in desperate need of a refresh and a remodel. Walk into the room further, and we notice that there are cigarette burns in the furniture, holes in that furniture that's there. And there's stains on the carpet. And quite honestly, the room just had an odor. And may I describe it no other way but by saying it smelled like body odor. Have you ever been in a hotel room like that? And I said to my wife, this is not quite what we expect you. She said, no, it's not. And we're not staying here. I said, whoa, now, wait, let me tell you something, honey. We have paid for this night, and I'm not going to get my money back. We're going to stay here tonight, and we're going to enjoy being in this hotel for $25 a night. After much counseling, we finally got through all of those frustrating moments. So, but she agreed, and she decided that we would stay there tonight. So the next morning, we wake up. And as I wake up, I look down on my chest, and I see two cockroaches on the chest, on my chest in that bed. I immediately think to myself, Mr. and Mrs. Cockroach, I don't know where you've been, but I know where you're going. And I ushered them into cockroach eternity immediately. Now, I give that illustration for a reason. Because do you know what we didn't do when we got up that morning? I didn't get out my cell phone and I didn't start calling Orkin exterminators and said, hey, we're in 453 of this particular hotel. Would you send your exterminators up here because we have a cockroach infestation? I didn't call the plumber and say, we need to take care of the rust stains in the toilets and the shower walls and the calcium deposits on the shower heads and the faucets, and we need to take care of the mirror. I didn't call an upholsterer and say, we need to take care of the stains on the furniture. I didn't call a carpet layer to say, we need to have the carpets cleaned. Why? Because that room was not my home. I was just passing through. And here's a principle we need to learn as Christians. That in the journey of the Christian life, we frustrate ourselves thinking we have to fix every problem. And the best thing that we can do is just simply say, you know what, God? You only have me here for a moment and for a time. I am just passing through. And as a result, Lord, this is temporary and I am transient. I can move on because my home is not in this world. My home is in heaven. Can I have an amen right there? It's the principle of the pilgrim. But here's a second principle as well. The purpose principle. You choose your experience in the valley. You choose how you're going to spend your time in the valley. You see it? It's in the text, Psalm 84, verse number 6. Who passing through the valley, notice this, makes it a well. It didn't say they discover a well. It doesn't say they drill for a well. They make it a well. They choose how they're going to receive that moment that they face in their life. In business, it's called leveling up. You give customers the choice to level up to the next level. Airlines are the perfect example. If you fly on an airline, there's usually four levels that you can choose from. There is the basic level, which basically gives you a seat on the plane, but they choose what seat it's going to be. Most likely, it will either be in the luggage bin, the lavatory, or the worst seat of all, the middle seat. Can I have an amen right there? And you'll sit in one of those seats that they choose for you. You'll pay a lower fare, but you'll have a horrible experience in the process. But then you can move up from the basic level to the main cabin. You'll still be in the same area, but you get the choice. You can say, I want to be at the window, or I want to be at the aisle, or I want to be in the front, or I want to be in the back. You get to choose what that seat would be. And not only that, you get the privilege of peanuts and water because you can be up towards the front when they give that service as they come through. But if you're in basic, good luck. You're lucky to breathe the air while you're on that plane, let alone get anything to eat or drink while you're there. But if you really want to level up, you don't stay in the basic, you don't stay in the main cabin. For me, I fly Delta now. With Delta, I can move up to Comfort Plus. They give me 2 extra inches in the seat and 9 extra inches for my knees not to bang into the seat directly behind me. And you say, 2 inches in the seat, 9 inches. Listen, when you're like me, every inch counts. Can I have an amen right there? And I can choose to level up. And here, I get to load before everybody else does. Before the main cabin loads, before the basic loads. I get to load because that makes sure I get the overhead bin space. That makes sure that I get the refreshments. It gives me a larger seat. I can choose not the basic. I can choose not the main cabin. I can choose Comfort Plus or that fourth one, first class. That's leveling up.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I have never bought first class in my life. But I have been leveled up because of my medallion status with Delta. And there is nothing like flying first class. They, before you even get off the ground, they're offering you refreshments. They don't give you just 2 extra inches in the seat. It's like a recliner. You sit back in that and you can relax and you can just enjoy the flight. And once you've flown first class, you'll never go basic again. Why? Because you've leveled up. Now, here's the point I want to make to you today. Your journey in life is your choice as to how you receive it. And if you want to stick with the basic and be bitter about everything, then go ahead and do that. But God's calling you today, and He's saying, if you're in the Valley of Baca, why don't you choose to level up and move to the main cabin or the Comfort Plus and make it a place where there is joy in the midst of sorrow? You see, there's no mistaking you're going to experience valleys in life, but how you respond to those valleys makes a difference. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that when we pass through that valley, we choose to make it a place of joy. We dig a well of joy. We decide that as we pass through, we're going to have something that can only come from that moment. We choose the experience that we're going to have. Let's face it, we all have different valleys. Some of you may have a valley of a broken relationship tonight. And as much as you want to, you want to make it work. You want to try to make it come together. And it just doesn't seem to be working out. Just choose in that valley to make it a well. Choose joy in the midst of that hardship. Some have financial hardship. Some of you don't know how you're going to pay your bills this week. Just choose in this valley to make it a well of joy. Some of you have health issues. Some of you have family issues. I don't know what it is. It may be something completely unrelated to what I'm thinking about, but you know what it is. And you choose your experience. You make it a well. Why? Because you need that. But can I tell you something else? Not only do you need it in that moment, but you may need it again later on. You see, these travelers pass through 3 times a year, and they know that they're going to have to go through that valley. But the next time they go through, they say, you know what? I've been here before, and I know where there's a well. I can find some joy in this hardship. Or not only may you need that well again, the person who's coming behind you may need that well again. They may need to know where it is, and you can encourage them, and you can say, when you're going through that valley, when you find yourself in that place of sorrow, you can be in that place and know that there is a well. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, our sorrows are often designed for someone else's benefit, not just for us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, whether it be we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, and nothing is wasted in God's economy. And what you're dealing with right now, God can use for you again and can use for others as they pass through the valley. The pilgrimage principle. Remember, your troubles are temporary. The purpose principle. You choose your experience in the valley. Here's a third principle. The provision principle. God meets our needs at just the right time. Look again, verse number 6. Are you with me tonight? Say amen if you're with me. 3 of you are. That's good. I'm glad to know that you're paying attention. Some of you are back in the third state of anesthesia right now. Verse number 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, notice this, and the rain also filleth the pools. So when you dig a well, that comes from within. When rain fills the pools, that comes from above. Circle the word rain, if you would, please. It's used 3 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the book of Joel, 1 time here in Psalm 84. In the book of Joel, it refers to that former rain. You know the former rain versus the latter rain. When it refers to the former rain, it is the first rain of the day. There in that valley, there would be a time early in the morning when the conditions would be just right, that the clouds would gather and they would break open for a moment and rain would fall and the wells would be filled. It's used as an idea of a blessing from God. It's a place where we can recognize that God provides for us at just the right time. That word that is used for the word rain, you can take that word and you can parse it out, and you're going to find that it's used in the word blessing as well. 61 times that derivative is referred to as blessing throughout the Old Testament. And what Jesus is teaching us through this Old Testament psalm is that God often does His greatest work in the morning. Have you thought about that? Exodus chapter 16, he gave fresh manna in the morning. Psalm 143 verse 8, His loving kindness is found in the morning. Lamentations 3:23, we sang about it tonight. His mercies are new in the morning. Psalm 30, verse number 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God does His greatest work in the morning. And at just the right time, as you're passing through that valley, and you've said, God, I choose to dig a well of joy. I'm bringing from within something that only can be found through the work of the Spirit in my life. God pours the rain of blessing upon you and provides for you exactly what you need. The pilgrimage principle. Remember, troubles are temporary. The purpose principle. You choose your experience in the valley. The provision principle. God meets our needs at just the right time. Here's the fourth and the final principle. The promise principle. God blesses you as you trust Him on the journey. When you come to that very last stanza, the single verse in that stanza, the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Can I be honest with you? That's the hardest part of the journey sometimes. Sometimes it is just hard to trust God, but He's trustworthy. And as we in that journey find ourselves in the valley, when we find ourselves having to choose joy over bitterness, when we find ourselves waiting for God's fresh blessing, we have to trust in Him that He's a good and a gracious God. A few years ago, I was flying over to Israel for a tour. It's probably been 4 years ago, 5 years ago perhaps. And as I was flying over, I received an iMessage on my iPad. The young man in our church had passed away unexpectedly. This would be Tyler Powell, Boo and Tracy's son. Completely shocked when I saw that news. My wife had texted me that and shared that information with me. I'd just seen him at church that morning and was laughing, joking with him. Boo was one of our deacons at the time. Carl was his name. We called him Boo. We were in West Virginia, so it was okay to do that. And He was a man that was growing in the Lord, serving the church, doing great things. God was blessing him in his life in that moment. But in just a moment of time, life was reversed when their 19-year-old son passed away. His son was the same age as my son. And immediately I had a connection, understanding as a father what he was going through. I told my wife, I said, listen, I can't call from the plane. See if I can, if we can get a hold of Boo, if he has an iPhone so I can text him. We finally communicated and we made contact. And I said, Boo, I want you to know, as soon as I get to Tel Aviv, I'm going to get the next flight out and I'm going to fly back to West Virginia. I want to be there with you and your family. We arrived in Tel Aviv, and as soon as we did, I went to the United counter, and I said, I need to get the next flight out. They said, well, you just arrived on the last flight in. The next flight out will be tomorrow morning at roughly 6 a.m. We can put you on that flight. We'll give you a bereavement flight since you're a pastor going back for a funeral. So they gave us priority, and I talked to the guy who was the coordinator for the tour company there. And I said to him, I said, listen, I got to fly out the next morning. Do you want me to stay here in Tel Aviv at the airport or what's best? He said, why don't you just do this? Why don't you go ahead, go to the hotel in Netanya, have dinner with your folks, get a good night's rest, and we'll arrange for an Uber car to come pick you up and take you back to the airport early in the morning so you can get there. I did that. It was good. We needed that as that group of folks from our church family also had to grieve the unexpected passing of that young man. I had dinner that night and went to my room. As I sat in my room, I couldn't sleep. I went out on the balcony, and we were overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, and the moon was shining, and I was looking up into heaven, just having a conversation with God, not really getting any answers. Have you ever been that way before? You prayed, and it was as if God wasn't even listening. And finally, the time came that He was coming to pick me up. He was supposed to pick me up about 3 in the morning so that we could be there by 4 to be there for a 6 o'clock flight. And I went and got my stuff, really hadn't even unpacked. And I went downstairs. No one was in the front lobby area. I just stayed in the lobby and waited for a car to pull up. I looked at my app on my phone and matched the car, matched the license plate, matched the name and the picture of the driver. And I threw my luggage in the back of that car. And I got into that car and we drove off into the dark Middle Eastern night. There's one thing I remember about that night that I will never forget. This guy was apparently an American music fan. You see, I'm from East Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I love Tennessee football. But the song he was playing was just abysmal to me. It was Sweet Home Alabama as we were driving through the middle of the night. I will never forget that. And here we're driving through the night. I'm hearing these songs. I'm hearing Elton John. I'm hearing Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm hearing Creedence Clearwater. All these things. I'm like, what are you doing, God? This is not the way that it's supposed to be. So I finally just gaze off into the sky out the window. And he drives through the back areas of Israel. Listen, I don't know. I don't even know who he is. Never met him in my life. My son said he's playing Sweet Home Alabama. That's called terrorism, Daddy. You don't want him playing that kind of stuff because we're not Alabama fans, but that's neither here nor there. I get to the airport. I go through security. They don't stop me this time. I go through security. I get on the plane. I hear a voice come across the loudspeaker. This is the captain speaking. We have a 13-hour flight ahead of us. We don't expect a lot of turbulence. We'll probably have a little turbulence as we come across around Iceland, but it shouldn't be anything of concern. Just sit back and relax, go to sleep. We'll get you safely back to the United States. I did that. I was so tired. I just laid back and I went to sleep. Next thing I know, I arrive in the United States. I arrived that evening in the United States. It was probably about 11 o'clock in the evening. It was so late that our staff couldn't come get me that evening, and we didn't want to drive all night, so I had a hotel arranged for me, but I had to get there. So I called for a taxi. The taxi came and took me from the airport. It was in a rough part of town in Cleveland, Ohio. And that taxi took me from the Cleveland airport to the hotel, the La Quinta Inn, that was to the south there in Cleveland. And there I went in and I laid down and rested for a while, but then again I couldn't sleep. My body was so off. I got up and I began studying and reading my Bible. And I came across this verse. It's a verse that I had marked in my Bible, and you probably do as well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When I read that familiar verse, it was a moment of conviction for me. Trust in the Lord. He directs your path. It was a moment of conviction in the fact that I had trusted a Palestinian Uber driver, whom I never had met before, to get me from a hotel in Netanya, Israel, to Tel Aviv, Israel. I had trusted the captain of an airplane, who I have never met, never saw, only heard a voice, who simply said, sit back and go to sleep, and I'll get you to the United States. I trusted a taxi driver. Never met him before in my life. Didn't even bother to say, do you have a carriage license within the city of Cleveland to be able to operate this taxi cab? I just threw my luggage in the back of the car, and I trusted him to get me to where I needed to be. And here was the conviction that I had. I knew none of those individuals, but I know my Heavenly Father. And I know my Heavenly Father is good. But why have I questioned him with every step of the journey in my life? And maybe you're doing the same thing right now. Lord, what in the world are you doing? Why are you taking me down this road? Why am I on this wild ride? I'm here to tell you, you can trust the Lord. And when you trust the Lord, you can have strength for the journey. For blessed is the man that trusteth in thee, who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them. Father, we recognize today that there is an arrival that is to come. It's the ultimate arrival when we find ourselves in heaven. But we also know, Lord, that there are arrivals of destination temporarily here on earth as we move from various phases in our life. As you move us from various opportunities, and sometimes we find ourselves frustrated in that journey. But Lord, may we rest in you. And once we found rest in you, may we move from strength to strength, But know, Lord, that you are good and that in every aspect we can trust in you. I pray you'll take these simple thoughts tonight and challenge and encourage this congregation to be reminded that there is truly strength for the journey. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.